Drops a bag outside. When we read the fucking mail, it's a hell of a ride. One for my buddy, two for the show, three orange slices and away we go. Listen to mail, come on, listen to mail. Gilbert and Frank's very amazing colossal mailbag, colossal mailbag, colossal mailbag.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried. And I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. And this is Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions. And we're mourning the death of Rayburn. Yes.
At least he looks good to me.
I'll have no obsessions myself here. So I brought you guys a treat.
Okay.
Something I was going through old
we'll
boxes.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. A treat would be if you stayed home. Yeah. That would be a treat.
Well, second to that.
We had a literal treat sitting in that chair.
That's right.
Treat Williams.
That's right. So I have a valise here that was delivered in a Brinks truck to the studio.
A valise?
A valise.
Well, I like the term valise.
What are you, Franklin Pangborn?
Yes.
I have a valise.
A valise.
Go ahead.
How many guests bring a valise? Not too many.
Yeah.
Here we go. You ready?
Oh.
1961, the first
look at that
Batman annual.
Where did you find that?
I found it was in a box that when I cleaned out my parents' house.
That's impressive.
Years ago, and I finally opened the box. So take a look if you
that's
want.
That's impressive.
That's scary.
1961.
Paul went through
this
trunk.
One? Lois Lane had her own
comic book?
She sure did. I remember that checkerboard pattern across the top of the comics.
And I think on the one you have, Frank.
I wonder how many little boys jerked off to this picture.
Well, we know you did.
Yeah, I did, sir.
And there's Justice League of America.
Let me see that Justice League comic, my friend. That is a classic.
Hand me back the giant Batman annual.
This is great. This is in good shape, this Justice League.
I know. These are worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
I'm
this has
sure.
got to be. I'm going to open up, and I know it's probably written by the great Gardner Fox. Let me see if I can find his name.
Oh, my God. Test your talent.
Look at
to
that.
Draw.
Test your talent. It's like draw Binky.
Oh, my God. God,
I don't even see any writer credits.
So here, can I read you a little something from the intro to this? Let's see. What if Batman forgot all his great talents? It seems incredible, but it happens when his mind blanks out and Robin has to teach him how to be the Batman.
Wow.
Oh.
How about that?
Wow.
Jeez.
Look at this Justice League comic from 1961. This is Justice League number 5. Wow.
Look at the price. 10 cents. Back when a comic book was 10 cents.
I suggest you take this home, put it in a Mylar bag, and have it appraised.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's probably worth a couple of $100.
Yeah.
Walking around with it loose in a valise.
That's why I had it deleted. Yeah,
it's Justice League number 5, pal.
In a valise.
What are you doing? Oh. Actually, it's not worth anything at all. Let me take it home.
Yes.
Let me borrow it. Let me borrow that sucker.
So that was my treat. What do you think?
Not bad. I would protect those. Go online and look for, and find a comic buyer's guide and see what those puppies are worth. Not bad.
Or go on that pawn TV show.
What, the Pawn Stars?
Yeah.
They'll rob them blind.
Oh, yeah. They'll say, this is worth about 12 cents. Yeah.
You have any housekeeping, Gil, that you want to open this mini episode with?
We had those guests on who watched the dog perform cunnilingus on Jacqueline Bisset.
Tom Johnson and David Fantle, even if that's not quite what happened. Yes, that's their name.
Yes, they did. And it was a Rottweiler with one of those really giant tongues.
Are you sure?
And yes, and Jacqueline Bisset held up a little doggy treat and rang a bell.
No
and
shit.
And the dog went down on her.
Oh, wow. Just waved a liver snap.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
So
I'll keep that in mind.
Somebody, what's his name?
Mark Arnold. Who is a podcast listener.
Made up a photo of Jacqueline Bisset with a bunch of dogs around
Did
her.
Did I send it to you, Paul?
I don't think I saw that one. Yeah.
And I already thought it was funny. And then I look in the corner and there's a picture of me in a dog outfit.
Very clever, Mark Arnold.
So, yeah, that made me laugh.
I want to mention something. We did our first episode back after summer break was a trivia call-in show with our pal Rupert Holmes.
Yes.
And I announced at the top of that episode that the best caller, the best question of the night, was going to be awarded a prize. And then we ended the show. We were running so long on time to get the hell out of there. And we basically wrapped the show. So I went back and I listened to it, and the first question of the night was the question that impressed us the most. You remember what it was?
Ooh.
It was who was in the next room having a having an angioplasty when Frank Sinatra was passing away. The question was asked by Andrew LaPasha. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. So he is the winner. So Andrew, if you're listening to this, private message us, PM us on Facebook or me, and send us your address, and we will send you the prize. So you are the winner for the best question.
Frank Sinatra was dying in one room.
Cedar Sinai, I think.
And in the other room, Dana Carvey was having open heart surgery.
Yeah. That was the answer to the question.
Wow.
Yeah. So who was the celebrity in the in the next room? We didn't verify any of that, but it was a hell of a trivia question. Yeah. So
and in an extra room, a dog was eating out Jacqueline
Fisher. Oh, right. Moving right along.
He was dressed in medical garb, so it's okay.
And the doctor said, hey, the hell with Frank Sinatra and Dana Carvey. There's a dog going down on Jacqueline Bisset.
I will not be sending this episode to Jacqueline Bisset as an incentive to lure her to do the show.
She's probably listening going, I'll have to do this show.
We cross people out every time Gilbert tells an anecdote.
Right.
We're doing something different. We haven't listened to, we haven't done a listener mail episode in a long time. We did a trivia night, which was great. People got to talk to us and we got to hear their voices. There is a Facebook group that we have never heard from, and that is called the Amazing Colossal Progressive Listening Society.
The Scandinavian one.
Well, no.
Isn't it? No.
Not that one.
No. I thought that was that one.
That one's unmentionable. This is the people who insisted on talking politics on the regular Listening Society.
Right.
They
splintered off.
Well, they were sort of violating the rules of that page, which was no politics.
Right.
So they formed their own page. Yeah. Where you could talk politics as well as podcasting. And the guy that started it, Alan Bernard, said to me, well, you never ask questions from our group. So it's 2,000 or so people in that group. And I thought, we'll give them equal representation.
Right. Isn't it mostly the same people, but they can just curse?
It's some of the same people, but I think there's some new people and names that I didn't recognize. So.
But they recognize Gilbert's deep devotion to politics.
Yes. There's no more political comedian than Gilbert Gottfried, who's still doing Adlai Stevenson jokes.
I'm like Mort Saul.
You really are. You really are. And Will Durst combined. So we're gonna hear from the Progressive Listening Society. And we have some questions here, and then they can't say that we didn't reach out to them and that we weren't doing favored nations.
They've been saying that all over town.
They've been maligning us. And, well, of course, Frank's right. A lot of these people are the same people. Laura Pinto. Hey, Frank, since we all love to hear Gilbert sing, when will you be releasing a greatest Gilbert's hit album?
I'm ready. That's it.
Is the world ready for
that? Yes.
There may be a song rights issue. Our pal, the Rabbi David Komarovsky, will Gilbert be hosting a telethon for Munchausen Syndrome by proxy? Gilbert?
That's it's my pet cause.
I hope I'll be wheeled out in my hospital garb.
You don't really see telethons much anymore.
No.
It's sort of a thing of the past.
No, it is funny.
Yeah, it's kind of an antiquated
Gilbert's
form of show
Munchausen
business.
By proxy. It doesn't quite trip off the tongue.
And we have to do that.
And Ray Bone is the
episode
poster
300.
Boy for it.
It's a good idea. Remember Jan Murray used to do the Chabad telethon?
Oh, yes.
Am I saying that correctly?
The Chabad telethon.
Yeah.
I used to love watching.
That was even more lower rent than the MDA telethon.
I remember John Voight dancing in a circle of rabbis.
I thought
I must have fallen asleep.
Wow.
And this must be, and I thought I had been watching MTV or something, and they were trying to be crazy and wild. And then I switched over to that telethon. I thought, this is genuinely crazy and out there.
George Grimwood. Hi, Frank. A couple of questions. I finally got around to seeing It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and I adored it. And I'm wondering if you or Gil have any recommendations for other movies with vast comedy ensembles. For big casts.
Never as big as that.
No, no. And you're indifferent about that movie. You don't you like it okay, but it's really
it's like I feel like
I think I like it more than you do.
Everybody should see it. And yeah. There's several great moments, but it is kind of a mess.
Yeah. The Great Race, I think this is people are gonna come after me for this, but The Great Race has a comedy ensemble. A smaller one.
Yeah.
But it's Ross Martin and Larry Storch and Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon and Natalie Wood and Keenan Wynn and George McGreedy. There's a lot of people in it. And Hal Smith, who was the drunk on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh,
Otis,
wow.
The drunk. It has a great cast of character actors. And it's kind of like that movie. I like it better. I know people will consider that heresy. Most of those movies with big comedy casts, like Rat Race, which was the Zucker...
Every time they've tried
scavenger hunt.
Yeah, every time they tried to do a remake of Mad Mad World, it's horrible.
No, there haven't been too many good ones.
And what was the one with the Glad Bags?
That was called. Our pal Rick Overton was in that one.
Yeah,
that was called Million Dollar Mystery.
Yes,
I believe
those. Yeah. They're so always the worst mess.
They made a lot of them. There was the Big Bus. They made parodies of Irwin Allen movies that were comedies with big casts, casts.
There's a movie similar to Mad Mad World, much smaller cast, but that was Who's Minding the Mint?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good one.
That one's better.
It's Milton Berle, Victor Buono.
Did Howard Morris direct that?
I think
Jim
so.
Jim Hutton's in that?
Oh, and Gilligan is in it.
Bob Denver.
Bob Denver.
When would that have been?
Oh, 60s. And who was the girl? The hot-looking girl?
I can't remember. If only our researcher were present.
Yeah, who was the girl? Was she the
And who's Mining the Mint?
I don't have the girl. Or Vernie Kovacs?
What do you got?
I don't have the girl, but the motorcycle they drove in scene 5 was a... It was a Harley.
Very good.
With a souped
okay,
up
look
engine.
Up. Who's Minding the Mint?
All right, we'll come back to Raybone.
Next year.
Was it Dorothy Provine?
I think it could have been. She was really hot.
Brendan Joyce. Okay, guys, Better Career Suicide.
Wait. You know who else was in it? And we talked to him about it. He was a case of an Italian. It was a Jew and an Arab playing Italian brothers.
Oh, Gino Conforti.
Nope. It was Joey Bishop and
Jamie
Klinger.
Jamie Farr.
Jamie Farr and Joey Bishop playing Italian brothers.
Why did I think Gino was in that one?
He could have been.
Who was the
female lead?
Female. Did somebody say Dorothy Provine?
There you go.
You're already too fucking late.
I got one right for a change.
Yeah.
Jim Hutton, Milton Berle, Walter Brennan.
Yes.
Walter Brennan.
Yeah.
Walter Brennan, who hated blacks and Jews.
She's also in The Great Race. Provine.
Jamie Farr, did you mention him?
Yeah.
He just mentioned it.
Well,
we just had a 15-minute conversation.
I was looking it
how
up.
Jamie Farr was in the movie, and then after it's over, after a half hour of us talking about I found out Jamie Farr was in it.
I can't do
just
these shows
shut the
unless they're about
it's
2 hours
fault.
Long.
Paul's mic is on a 10-minute delay, so he's a...
Here's another one. Brendan Joyce, Better Career Suicide, McClane Stevenson or Randy Quaid?
Oh, wait. This
different kinds of career suicides. Totally different. Can Gilbert name all the... Now we got trivia again. Henry Kaplan. Can Gilbert name all the actors who've played Inspector Clouseau?
I probably not, but of course Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
There was Roberto Benigni.
He played a different character.
Oh, he was like the nephew.
Something like that,
Alan Arkin.
Correct.
Recently, Ted Wasch?
Ted Wasch played an American.
Martin. That's right.
Steve Martin.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, and if you want a deep dive, Roger Moore played him in Ted's movie, in The Curse of the Pink Panther.
Oh, okay.
With an ice bucket on his head, and I still don't understand that. Dale Whiteley, not Roger Moore's best work. Dale Whiteley, does Gilbert have a love for old gangster pictures, and what are his favorites?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would watch... Back then, they'd show the old horror movies, and they also showed all the old Warner Brothers.
Yeah, the old Angels with Dirty Faces.
Yeah, great one.
Roaring Twenties is
Roaring
a great one.
Roaring Twenties, terrific.
White Heat, that was later. Yeah, I love the same ones. Little Caesar.
Yes.
Gary Esposito, what was your favorite theater, I think we've covered this, to go see movies in, past and present? What, nobody goes to movie theaters anymore, do they?
People, the funny thing is like I think nowadays there's a lot of people going, you know, I heard people used to go leave their house to see a movie.
It's like going to the automat.
Yeah.
At this point. I've talked about mine, the Cross Bay Theater in Queens where I grew up, where my grandmother thought it was a good, while she was babysitting my sister and me, thought it was a good idea to take us to see Mia Farrow in a slasher movie called See No Evil, where she's a you know this movie? She's a blind governess.
Yes!
And I think I was 11. I don't know how the hell she even got us in. Traumatized for months.
I just remembered a gangster film that was very much like The Godfather. I think it may have been Three Brothers or something.
Rocco and his three brothers?
Maybe.
Rocco and his brothers?
Edward G. Robinson.
That sounds right.
And I think, what's his name? Richard Conte.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And I heard Richard Conte's career started because John Garfield saw him in something, and he said, I like that guy.
I didn't know that.
He started,
Richard Conte, who was Bozzini in The Godfather.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the nemeses.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Jamie Dixon,
And Richard Conte was in that Twilight Zone episode.
Yes, he was.
The girl with the cat's eyes.
Yes, he was. My other favorite theaters, of course, were the late great Ziegfeld Theater. And the Cinema 150 in Syosset for you Long Islanders.
When I was a kid, I used to go to the, God.
Was it the Kent in Brooklyn?
Not Kent. It's with a K. Holy fuck. What am I? What was the name of that theater?
What, in Coney Island?
No. It was in Crown Heights on Easton Parkway.
Well, he can't look that one up.
Holy.
Maybe you'll get it.
It's not the one they renovated and made into a big new space. Is it the King's Theater? Or
the
not
King's Theater?
King. Yeah. Not King.
Did you watch porn there when they converted it in the 70s?
What the fuck? I know the name
right, you'll
of
get
that
it.
What was
theater?
The street? What was
you'll
the
get
street
it by
name?
The end.
It was on Easton Parkway.
Easton Parkway.
Moving along. Jamie Dixon, I recently watched Lair of the White Worm. Do you know this movie?
I know there's a hot-looking English actress.
Ken Russell
in there.
Movie.
Yes.
And I watched Rio Lobo, and it had me thinking about actors with the buggiest eyes.
Oh, what's his name?
It has to be Jack Elam.
Jack Elam,
yeah,
yes.
Rio Lobo.
Yes.
Yeah. That seems like a logical topic. Yeah, we'll do a mini episode on the actors with the buggiest eyes. David Smolar, Frank, in case you didn't use my trivia questions from the call-in show, here's fun for you guys, and no cheating. Trivia for Gilbert, to whom I owe a Kugel. He owes you Kugel.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Three robot characters. I'll give you the characters' names. Jaime.
Get smart.
Very good. Yo-Yo.
Oh, Yo-Yo and Holmes thing and Yo-Yo. With what's that actor's
John
name?
John Shuck. Right, and Jaime was played by the late Dick Gaudier, who we tried to get here. And Val, released in 1981.
Oh, well, that, of course, 2001.
No, that's Hal.
No, that's Hal. Oh, Hal!
Yeah, he's saying Val.
Hal. Oh, Val!
Yeah, 81.
Val.
Bad robot movie.
Ooh.
Starred Bernadette Peters and Andy Kaufman.
Oh,
it's called Heartbeeps.
Oh, yes.
Made by our friend Alan Arkush. Rusty Lerner. Did Gilbert have any run-ins with Sandra Bernhard on the stand-up circuit back in the day?
I mean, I play same clubs as her. But
yeah. Any problems?
No. In fact,
I'm not sure what he means by run-in.
We were both in a horrible movie together. I mean, I had maybe two tiny scenes.
That surprises me.
But that, yeah.
Gilbert, take a look. I couldn't find anything. I got a bunch of pictures of old theaters in Brooklyn. I don't know if one of these is the one.
Yeah, we'll make the listeners wait while Gilbert scrolls through pictures of old movie theaters on your phone.
Yeah, well,
I'll keep
going,
Gil.
I hope they can contain their excitement.
Shout out if you recognize it.
Okay, you just go on with the show.
I want to give a shout out to Mike Erickson, who, and I can't believe this, I'm stunned and speechless, named his dog after me. His dog is named Frank Santopadre Erickson because his wife announced, "We are not naming the dog after Gilbert Gottfried." Frank came to mind, and it stuck. Keep up the good work. I'm blushing. I don't know what to say.
You had no idea where this show would take you.
I hope the dog is paper trained.
No offense, but I think Raybone is a way cooler name.
It's a much better name for a dog. Paul Ekstrom, how much do you guys edit out of the episode? Oh, you mean like this one? Are we missing anything good? No. No, absolutely not. We trim a little bit here and there.
We should actually have more stuff we could edit into the episodes.
Yeah, it depends on the length of time. It depends on how many horrific things Gilbert has said.
You know, it might have been the cameo.
The cameo?
Yeah.
Not a K.
That's irony.
Yeah, or C.
Cameo.
You know, I kind of regret the little edits we've made, and sometimes we take out Chuck. I wish I had set them. I mean, we still have them all in the original recordings.
Yeah.
But I wish I had sort of marked each episode's cutouts. So if we ever wanted to
a director's cut of deleted scenes?
Or an episode of deleted bits. Yeah. You know?
They were deleted for a reason, though.
Yes.
In many cases.
Now, could I just make a little plug here? Wasn't that a wonderful piece of research to come up with the Cameo Theater?
Yeah, but can you keep quiet for the rest of the show, please? Yeah.
You redeemed yourself for shows 18 through 47.
Right.
We don't edit that much, Paul. Less and less. Let's see.
You know, I once got bleeped on the Howard Stern show.
Really?
Which is quite an honor.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember I made a joke and he bleeped it. And then he said, "I just saved your career right now."
There you go.
Yeah.
I might have made a few similar edits over the years.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sure.
A handful
have.
Of career savers.
I'm sure you have.
Let's move on. Alan Bernard, who is the moderator of the page. Cliff Nesteroff.
Oh. Yeah.
What is he working on? And can he come back again for a mini? Yeah, we'll have Cliff. We have Cliff periodically.
He always has great stories.
You like to mangle his name?
Yes.
You like to get upset?
Neuvenhoffen.
You like to get upset when he tells stories like Stu Gilliam attacking someone with an axe?
God, yes. And how Timmy Rogers got beaten up.
Yeah. And how Joey Lewis had his tongue pulled out by the mob.
Yes.
That was a fun episode. That was a feel-good show.
God, yeah, because his first time he was here, we were laughing, having fun. Then it was... Oh, and how when Walter Brennan heard that Martin Luther King died, he was dancing.
Yeah, just terrible.
Yeah, it was like, oh, God.
It was a dark episode.
Yeah.
But we love Cliff, and he's welcome here anytime. John Dawson, what did Lorne Michaels say to Gil at the SNL 40th?
Oh, you know, this was, I don't think it was the 40th. I think it was the one before it. And he was what?
No, it was the 35th? 25th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said hello to me, and then I thought, I wasn't sure you'd be talking to me. And he said, Well, why? You're a brick on this wall.
Very nice.
And I thought that was really nice.
Very, very nice. Yeah, you and Denitra Vance.
Oh, my God, yes. I want to, you know, whenever they do a magazine article of the history of Saturday Night Live, I always go right to the whatever happened to and make sure my name's not in that.
Well, didn't they rank, didn't Entertainment Weekly or Us Magazine rank the all-time cast members? And
oh, yeah.
You were low-ranked, but they complimented you.
Yes.
Dale Whiteley again. Since Gilbert and Frank are from big cities, were Westerns big in New York? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You got a favorite Western?
I remember watching some Western at the Cameo Theater. I think it was Barry Sullivan.
Yeah, wow.
And I of course went to see it because on the poster Lon Chaney was in.
Wow, what was the Western?
I don't know.
How about that?
But I'm sure Rayburn will come up with Lon Chaney in the next 12 years. Lon Chaney had a great scene
in High Noon.
High Noon, yeah.
Yeah, he's in a couple of Westerns.
He was terrific in that.
My favorite Western is My Darling Clementine, which is a cliched pick.
Oh, yeah.
But what the hell?
Of course, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Love that one, too.
Great one.
Love that. I love Ride the High Country. I love so many of them. Those Anthony Mann Westerns are great. Robert Heaps. We all know that Jerry Lewis was famously always nice to Gilbert. What celebrity was particularly unpleasant to Gilbert?
Yeah, see, I like using that term. With Jerry Lewis, you can go, well, he was always nice to me.
Exactly. You and Kathleen Freeman.
Yes.
Do you want to answer this question or you want to punt?
I'll punt.
Okay. I think I know one.
Yeah, okay. I have a million, but...
It was one that I know. They'll have to beat it out of me. Mark New. Hey, Frank, we need to get to the bottom of who actually has the biggest Schwantz in the business. Is it Uncle Milty, Forrest Tucker, or Hunts Hall? Well, splitting hairs there.
I'm saying Uncle Milty.
You're going with Milty?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a part two to his question. Whatever happened to some of the black comics who came along on the heels of Bill Cosby's success? They made an initial splash and then seemed to disappear. Stu Gillum and Scoey Mitchell.
Yes. Among
them. Scoey's with us. Gino's been trying to find Scoey Mitchell. Stu Gillum disappeared shortly after he pulled the axe out of his car.
And why would
went
that,
berserk.
Why would that hurt so much?
I don't know. It shouldn't have. Let me see. Gilbert, what is your worst experience with a heckler? Do you have a heckler experience that you want to share?
Not anything.
That wasn't Dara,
major.
I mean.
Yeah.
Joseph Rodriguez, now that he's coming back with Dolomite and coming to America too, will you try to get Gilbert's favorite co-star and old pal, Eddie Murphy? Has Eddie done a podcast?
No, I don't think so.
He's done Comedians in Cars.
Yeah, he has.
I think he'd be a reach.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to call him?
Yeah. Right after I speak to Mel Brooks, I'll call him.
But you guys
Eddie.
Were so chummy.
Yes.
You and Eddie. Mel Brooks, I understand. Let's see. Josh Chambers says, following Joseph's query, can you not have Joe Piscopo on the show? Okay, a more legit question. What is the best movie or promotional gimmick you've ever seen? Movie or TV promotional gimmick you've ever seen? A promotional gimmick.
Oh, well, that was all of those that...
The William Castle
William
stuff.
William Castle had
You know, John Waters released, was it polyester? With a scratch and sniff?
Oh, it was the smell.
The smell-o-vision?
Yeah.
The scratch and sniff card? I went and saw that and got a smell-o-vision card. That was actually fun. Yeah. TV gimmicks. I can't think of too many TV gimmicks.
Speaking of black comics and movies.
Yes.
And now I can't remember his name. Chris something. He would do all the Jackie Chan movies.
Oh, Chris Tucker.
Yeah. Where's he now?
I have no idea. Not doing this podcast.
Yeah.
for one. Let me see. What else do I have here for you? If there was an amazing colossal book club, whose memoirs would you add to the shelf? Well, you don't read the books.
No.
Did you read any of the Jerry Lewis books?
Did you read
King of Comedy or what was the name of that thing? Or the Sean Levy book?
There was one book I started to read that was written by his ex-wife, Patty, and her sons. And I got through, I think, a quarter of the book, and I thought, this is just too painful.
That bad?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. What are your... This is from Martin Bow, B-O-U-W. How would you pronounce that? Bow?
B-O-U-W.
Bow?
I wouldn't pronounce it at all.
What are your and Gilbert's favorite final episodes of sitcoms?
Oh.
You have a favorite... I like the Odd Couple final episode.
I was just thinking of that. Yeah,
it's sweet.
I was just thinking, because he says... when he's leaving, Felix goes, "I'm going to drop garbage on the floor." And I think he empties
out. He empties the waste paper basket as a tribute to Oscar.
And Oscar says, "And I'm going to clean that up."
Right.
And then when he walks out, Oscar says, "I'm not going to clean that up." And Felix comes back and he goes, "I knew he wouldn't."
It was great business. That was a sweet episode.
Yes.
And a sweet farewell. Okay, this is from Paul Soar. Is that Soar? Can you read that on the screen, Paul? What's that name above the video? S-A-U-R. Is that Paul Soar?
I can't see it. S-A-U-R.
Paul Soar.
Paul Soar. Okay, he wants to know if Gilbert remembers this, and we actually have a clip.
Oh.
Quick Stick, brought to you by Tegrin Shampoo.
Them dare say, be funny in 12 seconds. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I plead no. I plead no. All of you at home, I plead no.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Quick Stick for Tegrin.
Oh, my God. God, yes, they had a bunch of different comics do those. And I remember I had some dopey agent at the time who was saying, no, don't do that. That's a mistake. And I said, here they are. They have me on. They're saying my name, and they're going to pay me a lot of money for it. So why not? You know, but I had this agent. Oh. Her reasoning was, well, what if that comes on when you're doing the Letterman show? I said, yeah, I think God came down personally and was blessing my career that I'm on Letterman, and then they break for a commercial and it's me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of those did you do?
I think.
Did they send you free Tegrin?
Yeah.
What was that, shampoo?
Do you still have it? It's shampoo.
Shampoo, yeah.
Yeah, but that was her reasoning. Don't do it because it might come on when you're doing Letterman. And she couldn't answer that.
How you can argue with that?
Yeah.
We'll do this one last. This is from Brendan Joyce. Frank, what is a movie comedy that you like but is generally regarded as a failure or a bomb?
Ooh.
Gilbert, you can go first. I have too many.
Ooh.
We've talked about one on this show, 1941.
Oh, yes.
It's considered a failure.
Yes.
And I like it.
Hmm.
Sue me.
I can't think of any offhand.
No? Any movies that flopped that you actually like?
Well, I mean, I guess Bye Bye Braverman didn't do well.
Probably not.
There's a lot wrong with it. Sidney Lumet himself even said there was stuff. But it's one of those movies... When it comes on TV, I have to watch it.
Phyllis Newman died yesterday, and she's in Bye Bye Braverman.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. A movie called Five Corners. Does anybody know this movie? I've talked about it before.
I know the title.
Directed by Tony Bill, who made a more popular movie called My Bodyguard.
Yeah.
It was Jodie Foster, Tim Robbins, and John Turturro. I don't know if anybody can find it.
Yeah.
Written by John Patrick Shanley.
Oh, wow.
Of Moonstruck fame. And it's really good. And I think The Hudsucker Proxy, too, is another movie that I think the Coens' least respected movie that I love.
Oh, and
they probably didn't do well.
There was that other movie, I think, bombed that the Coen brothers did, A Serious Man.
Yeah, I don't know how much that, I don't know if that was a failure.
Was that the one when he was the
Richardson.
Barber?
Yeah, no, that's called The Man Who Wasn't There.
Man
I like that
there.
One, too.
Yeah.
Richard's in A Serious Man.
Oh, yes.
So great,
yes.
He has some great moments in that.
And that guy,
Richard Kind.
Goldman or something like that, he played Edward G. Robinson in Trumbo.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll end on that down note.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add? Anything Raybone wants to add?
Well, after you guys leave, I'm going to stay in the studio and research some of the unanswered questions.
You really should. Have that comic book appraised.
I will.
My friend.
I want to publish a book called Raybone, The Unanswered Questions.
I think I can get you the rights for that.
That's a tome. That'll be impossible to lift. Thank you, Paulie.
Okay,
thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Frank.
And this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Thank you, Andrew LaPasha. Congratulations.
Gloria, I'll be with you in one moment. Well, buddy, this is it.
I wish you a good honeymoon and a great life.
Your dinner's in the oven. Turn it off in 20 minutes.
Thanks.
Oscar, what can I say? 5 years ago, you took me in, broken man on the verge of mental collapse. I leave here a cured human being. I owe it all to you. It's all yours, buddy. I salute you.
Phoenix, you know how I'm going to salute you? I'm going to clean that up.
It has not been in vain.
I'm not going to clean it up.
I knew we wouldn't clean it up.
Just like